Iranians commemorate the 34th anniversary of the establishment of the Islamic Republic. Tehran says best way to end the violence in Syria is to stop the flow of arms to rebels. Continuation of violence in Syria wreaks havoc on life of Syrian nation, causing casualties and material damage. Iran's intelligence minister arrives in the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad for talks with the country's senior officials. And the Iranian defense minister says Islamic Republic is prepared to offer its mine-sweeping experience to other countries and help in clearance of minefields worldwide. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Anil Chitsas. Iran commemorates the 34th anniversary of the referendum in which Iranians voted for the establishment of the Islamic Republic following the collapse of the U.S.-backed Pahlavi regime. On a two-day referendum held on March 30th and 31st after the 1979 victory of the Islamic Revolution, over 98.2% of the Iranians voted yes to the establishment of an Islamic Republic. The establishment of the system was in line with the popular motto of the 1979 Islamic Revolution that called for the country's independence, freedom, and an Islamic Republic against the regime of Iran's last monarch, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. Since then, the nation annually celebrates Farvardin 12, which falls on April 1st in normal years and March 31st in leap years, as the anniversary of the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, referred to as the Islamic Republic Day. With the 1979 Islamic Revolution, the Pahlavi regime collapsed, putting an end to 2,500 years of monarchic rule in the country. Iran says the best way to end the violence in Syria is to stop the flow of arms to the foreign-backed militants fighting inside Syria. The remark was made by Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs, Hossein Amir Abdullahian, in a press conference in the Egyptian capital, Cairo. Amir Abdullahian called on the country's neighboring Syria to strictly control their borders in a bid to halt the smuggling of weapons in the country. The Iranian officials said Tehran and Cairo share similar views with respect to putting an end to the violence in Syria. Amir Abdullahian warned that foreign powers are seeking to disintegrate Syria by fueling the crisis in the country. The Iranian official further dismissed as baseless claims that Iran is interfering in the affairs of Islamic and Arab countries, stressing that the Islamic Republic has common interests with regional states. The Iranian diplomat who arrived in Cairo on Saturday has held talks on the situation in Syria with the UN Arab League Special Representative for Syria, Lathar Brahimi, Arab League Secretary General Nabil Al Arabi, and Egyptian Foreign Minister Mohammed Al Amr. A senior advisor to the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has criticized Qatar for allowing Syria's Western-backed opposition to open its embassy in Doha. Ali Akbar Velayati said what happened in Qatar was a theatrical move influenced by a number of reactionary regional countries. Velayati said this move is against international law, stressing that the decision was made once the enemies of Syria realized they cannot rely on military intervention in Syria. He added that the fate and future of Syria can be only determined by the Syrian nation, which is strongly resisting against the enemy and inviting the opposition to talks. On March 29, the so-called Syrian National Coalition opened its first embassy in Doha, while the original Syrian embassy in the Qatari capital remains closed. Qatar, along with Saudi Arabia and Turkey, have been widely viewed as the West's main Mideast allies, supporting foreign-backed militants who have been fighting the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Continuation of violence in Syria wreaks havoc on the life of Syrian nation, causing casualties and material damage in the country. At least 7 people were injured after foreign-backed militants launched a mortar attack and struck the Ush al-Warwar suburb near the capital, Damascus. Meanwhile, inside Damascus, a bomb attached to a car went off, leaving the driver injured and causing material damage. Elsewhere in Damascus, a 2,000-year-old holy site has been damaged in an area previously controlled by insurgents. Syrian officials and activists said At least, six mortars had hit the synagogue, and some objects were stolen from inside the building. The Syria has been experiencing unrest since March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of army and security personnel, have been killed in the violence. Several international human rights organizations have accused foreign-sponsored militants of committing war crimes. In other views, foreign-backed militants in Syria have set several oil wells ablaze in the east of the country. Now, Iran's intelligence minister, Haydar Moslehi, has arrived in the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad for talks with the country's senior officials on ways of improving bilateral relations. Moslehi arrived in Baghdad heading a delegation and was welcomed by Iraq's national security advisor, Faleh Fayaz. The Iranian minister said his visit to Iraq was aimed at exploring avenues for enhancing Tehran-Baghdad relations, particularly in the fields of security. During his stay in Baghdad, Moslehi is scheduled to hold talks with top Iraqi officials, including Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and Chairman of the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq, Amir al-Hakim. For his part, Fayaz assessed as very important the expansion of Tehran-Baghdad ties, saying Iran is among the few countries in the region that transfers its positive experiences to Iraq. He added that Iran has always made efforts to help the Iraqi people over recent years. Now, the Iranian defense minister says the Islamic Republic is prepared to offer its minesweeping experience to other countries and help in the clearance of minefields worldwide. In a message on the occasion of the upcoming International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action, Ahmad Vahidi said, "Unexploded mines and ordnance are the negative outcomes of armed conflicts among countries and governments." He added that mines and cluster munitions, characterized by their failure to distinguish military personnel from civilians, inflict great pain on both troops and civilians during a war, and also negatively affect the environment and human communities after the war. The Iranian defense minister went on to say that more than 20 million mines and nearly 20 million unexploded shells and explosives were left over in Iran after the Iran-Iraq war. Iranian oil minister Rustam Wasami says the three phases of the South Pars gas and oil field will be completed by the end of the current Iranian calendar year. Wasami said phases 12, 15, and 16 of the field are due to come on stream in the current year. Wasami also referred to the exploitation of the oil and gas field as one of the priorities of the Iranian oil ministry. He stated that Persian Gulf State Refinery, that is Persian Gulf Star Refinery, will also become operational in southern Iran in the current Iranian year. The refinery is expected to refine 360,000 barrels of gas condensate coming from Asaluya on a daily basis and produces gasoline, jet fuel, and other petrochemical products. The Iranian gas field contains 14 trillion cubic meters of natural gas, about 8% of the world's reserves, and more than 18 billion barrels of LNG resources. And now a recap of our top stories. Iranians commemorate the 34th anniversary of the establishment of the Islamic Republic. Tehran says best way to end the violence in Syria is to stop the flow of arms to rebels. Continuation of violence in Syria wreaks havoc on life of Syrian nation, causing casualties and material damage. Iran's intelligence minister arrives in the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad for talks with the country's senior officials. And the Iranian defense minister says Islamic Republic is prepared to offer its minesweeping experience to other countries and help in clearance of minefields worldwide. Staffs at Spain's royal palaces are to strike for the first time since the nation's transition to democracy in protest at salary cuts and an extension of the working week by 2 hours. A correspondent has more.
They are proud public servants of the Spanish royal house. However, after working for more than 20 years, they have decided to stop. Royal Palace of Spain on strike. Something unheard.
It's the first time in the National Heritage Day workers are not working in a special day as today. I'm working here for 28 years, and the situation is not good.
Royal Palace in Madrid and El Escorial are some of the most busy tourist sites affected by the strike. National Heritage officials protest against wage cuts, schedule change, and the elimination of the retirement support. Trade unions defend that these proposals are not due to the economic crisis, because National Heritage keeps its budget. At least 80% of them could not go to work. Tourist guides, tellers, Royal Forest guards, the ones who earn less and more suffer the crisis.
2 days of strikes to say no to the increase of hours and to the falling of wages. 500 workers of the Royal Palace in Spain will follow this strike. David Montero, by Persian, Sabaque Cabar.
Meantime, Spanish public servants have also marched in the streets of capital Madrid to protest over austerity measures. Here's more.
It's the last Black Friday in Madrid. These public servants have met here, in front of the mayor's building, every March Friday to protest against austerity programs and trimmings on health and education. Even though some of them will accept some economical efforts because they understand that Spain is living one of the worst financial situations, none accept asins on their rights. Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy said on Wednesday that his government will revise its economic outlook for next year. Spain is in recession for the second time since 2008, when a global financial crisis followed hard on the heels of the collapse of a decade-long property boom that affect seriously Spanish banks and local savings banks. Furthermore, European Commission approved the Spanish government plans to restructure 4 travel banks, an agreement that means those banks will now get almost 40 billion euros in loans from Eurozone bailout funds.
From my point of view, banks and people has a responsibility, but share, not only people.
And that's something believed and expressed on the streets by many Spanish citizens. Today, hundreds of public servants had met in Madrid to protest against health and education trimmings, but also to say no to austerity programs. They are going to keep with these so-called Black Fridays until they recover their rights. David Montero, by Persian, Sabaque Cabar.
Now, labor unions have resumed anti-austerity protests in Athens ahead of the new Troika audit later this week. Our correspondent in Athens delves into that topic.
Just days after the recent bailout deal in Cyprus, Greeks are nervously taking to the streets once more to demonstrate against austerity and especially the worrisome potentiality of a Greek version of the recent levy imposed on Cypriot bank account deposits. As part of the deal, Cyprus's central bank announced that savers with more than 100,000 euros in Bank of Cyprus would lose 40% of their savings and adopt a radical restructuring and downsizing plan. The losses to savers come on top of the 4.2 billion euro losses of deposits at Laiki Bank, the country's second bank, which is being closed down and its good assets transferred to Bank of Cyprus. In the meanwhile, awaiting its 10 billion euros rescue package from international lenders, new Cypriot President Nikos Anastasiadis was in Athens on March 31st looking for another 2 billion euros. Anastasiadis was to hold talks with Greek Prime Minister Antonis Samaras and other members of the Greek cabinet. Sources say the Cypriot leader would ask the Greek Prime Minister to give Cyprus the 2 extra billion euros from its own 48 billion euro bank recapitalization scheme. Although today's demonstrators were not necessarily aware of ramifications surrounding the ongoing negotiations, yet they did depict their economic situation with the darkest colors. While countries of the southern European periphery are still trying to overcome the recent levy shock deal in Cyprus, German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble has repeated savings accounts in the Eurozone are safe, adding that Cyprus is a special case and not a template for future rescues. Yet, this was not the spirit nor the content of recent comments made by Eurogroup chairman Jorn Dijsselbloem, who said the rescue program agreed for Cyprus would serve as a model for future crises. With the Troika expected back to Athens in just a couple of days, time will tell what bailout models will be adopted in the near future for underperforming European economies. After the recent bailout deal in Cyprus that did involve the imposition of a levy on all Cyprus bank account deposits, there are now fears in Greece looming that something similar might happen in Greece as well. This is the first reason why people have gathered today to demonstrate in Syndarma Square, central Athens. The other one is the protracted austerity imposed upon them. The memorandum is not good anymore, they say, asking for a radical change in their economic and social policy of their government. Lukas Romanos, Shobake Kabar, Athens.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Goodbye.